This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, another one of the beautiful stories of the seerah concerns and is about the great Jewish rabbi of the Banu Nadir called Al-Husayn ibn Salam, and later on he was called Rasulullah named him Abdullah, so we know him as Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He was a Jewish rabbi in Yathrib, which is the name of Medina, before Rasulullah came there, and he was widely respected in the whole city, not just by the Jews but by everybody. He was not just a famous rabbi, but he was descended from a family of rabbis. So his father, grandfather, they were all rabbis before him, and he was highly respected. So he was known for his piety and his goodness and his upright conduct and for his truthfulness. Al-Husayn bin Salam lived a very organized life. For a fixed period each day, he would worship and he would teach and he would preach in the temple. Then he would spend some time in his orchard looking after date palms, pruning, pollinating, watering, whatever needed to be done. And thereafter, to increase his understanding and knowledge of the religion, he would devote himself to the study of the Torah. Now, in this study, it is said that he was particularly struck by some verses of the Torah which dealt with the coming of a prophet who would complete the message of previous prophets. Al-Husayn bin Salam, therefore, took an immediate and very keen interest in this, and because he had heard that a prophet had appeared in Makkah, so he started taking interest in that. He would ask people, has anybody seen him, what is he saying, what does he claim, what is he preaching, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, he heard that this prophet was preaching a monotheistic religion. He was against idol worship. He was preaching that there is only one God, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he was receiving a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people, some people recited to Abdullah bin Salam some ayat of the Quran and so on. So he became more and more convinced. Then he said, and this is in his word, he said, when I heard of the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I began to make inquiries about his name, his genealogy, his characteristics, physical as well as his manners and so on, and his time and place. And I began to compare this information with what is contained in our books. From these inquiries, I became convinced about the authenticity of his prophethood, and I affirmed to the truth of his mission. So basically, he became Muslim. He accepted Islam, and he became Muslim. He said, but I hid the truth from my people, from the Banu Nadir and other Jews of Medina, because he was afraid of their reaction on that. Then came the day when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Makkah and he headed for Yathrib. When he reached Yathrib, he stopped at Quba, and a man came rushing into Yathrib, calling out to people and announcing the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Salam radhiyallahu anhu, he says, at that moment I was on top of a palm tree doing some work, and my aunt, his aunt's name was Khadija bint al Harith, was sitting under the tree. So on hearing the news, when this man who came and he announced, when Abdullah bin Salam or Al-Husayn bin Salam was on top of the tree, when he heard this news, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He says, my aunt heard this and she said, and she criticized him. She said, may God frustrate you. By God, you had heard, if you had heard that Musa alayhi salam was coming, you would not have been more enthusiastic. And so Abdullah bin Salam says, my aunt really, wallahi, by Allah, the brother of Musa and who follows his religion. He is the brother of Musa, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the brother of Musa and he follows the religion which Musa was sent with. So this is the, again, this is our belief that all the messengers, all the rasuls, all the Nabi Anbiya, they were brothers to one another. Rasulullah said the same thing to the to Al-Addas, the gardener in the garden in Taif where Rasulullah took refuge, and Al-Addas said he was from the people of Ninbe, and Rasulullah said that is the land of my brother Yunus. So Al-Addas said, Yunus, how is he your brother? Because he said, he is my brother because he was a prophet of Allah and I am a prophet of Allah, and all prophets are brothers to one another. So the aunt, Khadija bint Haris, she was silent for a while, and then she said, is he the prophet about whom you spoke to us and who you said would be sent to confirm the truth preached by previous prophets and to complete the message of our Rabb? And Al-Husayn bin Salam said, yes, it is the same person. So then he said, without any delay, I went to meet Rasulullah. He said, when I reached Quba, I saw crowds of people at his door. I moved about in the crowds until I reached close to him, and I wanted to hear what he was saying. And he said, the first words that I heard him say were, he said, O people, afshus salam. He said, spread peace. And then he said, feed the people, share your food, feed the people. And then he said, pray during the night while people sleep, and you will enter Jannah in peace. Yeah, so he's giving people three pieces of advice. First time he's meeting them, three pieces of advice. Secret of success in this life and the Akhirah: spread salam, feed people, meaning be generous, especially with food, but in many ways. And then pray during the night, which is tahajjud, where people normally sleep, and you will enter Jannah, you will enter paradise in peace. Abdullah bin Salam, Al-Husayn bin Salam, he said, I looked at him closely. Now, remember, Abdullah bin Salam was a great scholar. And among the things that he was famous for was an art which was there in those days, which today, for want of another word, you would call it face reading. So he would look at somebody's face and he would know a great deal about this person because of the signs that he would see in the person's face. So he said, I looked at him closely, I scrutinized him, and he said, I was convinced that his face was not the face of an imposter, was not the face of a liar. He said, I went closer to him and I made the declaration of faith. Immediately he went and he accepted Islam. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to me and he asked me, what is your name? And he said, Abdullah bin Salam, he said, my name is Al-Husayn bin Salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, instead of that, from now your name is Abdullah bin Salam. So he gave him a new name. And Abdullah bin Salam said, yes, I agree, Abdullah bin Salam it shall be, by him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent you with the truth, I do not wish to have another name from after this day. He said, I returned home and I introduced Islam to my wife, my children and the rest of my household. They all accepted Islam, including my aunt Khadija, who was then an old lady. However, I advised them to conceal our acceptance of Islam from the Jews until I gave them permission, and they all agreed that he was afraid of any conflict and so on and so forth. Subsequently, he said, I went back to Rasulullah and I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, the Jews are a people. Now he's talking about the Jews in Medina, the Banu Nadir and all the people. He said, the Jews are a people who are inclined to slander and to falsehood. I want you to invite their most prominent men to meet you. And during the meeting, you should keep me concealed from them in one of the other rooms. And then ask them about my status among them before they find out about my acceptance of Islam. Then invite them to Islam. If they accept, that is good. If not, he said, if they were to know because that I would become Muslim, they would denounce me and accuse me of everything base and they would slander me. So Rasulullah did as he advised. He had him in the next room. He invited these people. They came. He introduced Islam to them, and they began to dispute and they argued with him about the truth and so on. And they would not accept. So when he realized that they were not inclined to accept Islam, he put the question to them. He said, "What is the status of Al Hussein bin Salam among you?" They said, "He is our Sayyid." He said, "He is our leader, and he is the son of our Sayyid. He is our Rabbi. He is our Alim. He is our scholar, and he is the son of our Rabbi and scholar." Then Rasulullah said, "If you came to know that he has accepted Islam, would you also accept Islam?" They said, "God forbid, he will never accept Islam. May God protect him from accepting Islam." So they were horrified. They said, "This can never happen." At this time, Abdullah bin Salam said, "I came out and I announced, O assembly of Jews, be conscious of Allah, ittaqullah, and accept what Muhammad has brought. By God, you certainly know that he is a messenger of God, of Allah, and you can find prophecies about him and the mention of his name and characteristics in our Torah. I, for my part, declare that he is the messenger of Allah. I have faith in him and I believe that he is true and I know him." He said there was pandemonium. They shouted, "You are a liar. By God, you are evil and ignorant. You are the son of an evil and ignorant person." And they continue to abuse him and so on, and on him and his father and so on. And this is in Bukhari. Abdullah bin Salam, he came, think about this, he came, this is the mark of a true scholar. The mark of a true scholar is that he is in search, always in search of knowledge, and always in search of the truth. Right? He's not somebody who at any point in time says, "Well, okay, I know now, I don't have to accept anything. I'm at the ultimate end of knowledge. There's nothing more that I need to know." No scholar will say that. True scholarship produces humility. And Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu was like this. So he had his heart and his soul was thirsty for knowledge. He was passionately devoted to the Quran, and he spent much time in reciting it and studying the Quran. He was very, very attached, deeply attached to Rasulullah, and he spent a lot of time in the company of Rasulullah. All these are marks of a true scholar. He's a true scholar. He has the desire to learn. He has the book of Allah. He has the messenger of Allah with him. And of course, he takes full advantage of these blessings. He spent a lot of time in the masjid, in nafil salawat, engaged in worship, in learning, in teaching. He was known for his beautiful way. He was a teacher, he was a scholar. So he brought all those skills to Islam. And he was known for his beautiful way of teaching in the halaqat, the study circles of the Sahaba. To the extent that Abdullah bin Salam used to be called the person of Jannah. He used to call a man from the people of Jannah. And that was because of his strong belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and to his to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the goodness to learn the deen and to truly follow it in our lives. Now Ramadan, we go on, let's move on with our story. Ramadan was, fasting was prescribed in the second year of Hijrah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O you who believed, decreed on you is fasting as it was decreed upon those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon and righteous. It's very interesting to think about this, that five times salah was prescribed in the 13th year of Hijrah. Fasting was prescribed in second year after going to Medina. Almost entire Quran which was revealed in Mecca was to do with the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose was to fill the hearts of the Muslims with the glory and majesty and nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they became firm in their faith. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed rules and regulations of life. And that is why those rules and regulations of life were accepted so readily, and they were followed so faithfully and consistently, because people knew from where they were coming, right? For people, today we feel various things are non-negotiable, are inevitable, are absolutely essential. For the Muslims, for the Sahaba, the deen was essential, not the things of the dunya. You know, it's a question of where do you approach it from. If you approach it from one side, you end up with one situation, obviously. Whereas if you approach it from another side, the whole picture changes. I mean, just think about it. If you're walking down a road, it's the same road, right? The same road. You're looking down that road in one direction. You see a different picture. You see a particular picture. You see how it appears. You know, whatever is on the road. You turn around and look behind. It's a different picture. Same road. Now this is how the Muslims approached the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is how they approached life, by looking at it through the lens of the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. We change that and we look at the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala through the lens of the dunya.